Okay. That this is a public meeting. It is recorded and transcribed for the record. So if you do not want to participate in something that is recorded, please know that it is. And on that note, I will hand it off to Peter.
All right. Thank you very much, Jen. Good afternoon. I call to order this meeting of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee for Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. The time is 1:01 p.m. It is important to note that this is the first CCAC meeting for the fiscal year 2026. And I would also like to remind all participants and the public that these meetings are recorded. CCAC members, liaisons, and staff, please remember to mute your phones or microphone on the Microsoft Teams program when not talking, and to announce your name when you speak for the transcript as well as for the public listener. Before we begin, I want to introduce the members of the committee, so please respond present when I call your name. Arthur Bernstein, representing the general public.
Present.
From Croatia, no less. Dr. Harcourt Fuller, recommended by the Speaker of the House.
Present.
Thank you. Present. Dr. Christopher Capozzola, the member specially qualified in American history.
Present.
Thank you. Jean Stephen Solman, the member specially qualified in sculpture or medallic arts.
Present.
Thank you, Jean. John Saunders, recommended by the House Minority Leader.
Present.
Thank you, John. Michael Moran, recommended by the Senate Majority Leader. Is Michael Moran with us?
I think he said he couldn't make this meeting.
All right. He is not with us at the moment. Donald Scrinci, recommended by the Senate Minority Leader.
My rubber stamp is present.
Oh, thank you very much, Donald. Sam Gelbert, the member specially qualified in numismatics.
Present.
Sam. Kellen Horde, representing the general public.
This is Jennifer Warren. He should be getting on any minute, but he is not on at the moment. Oh, he's getting on right now.
All right, I'll come back to him in just a second. Annalisa Purdy, representing the general public.
Present.
Thank you, Annalise. And Kellen Horde, if you're with us now, please do say as much, if you would, please.
Yep, I just got into the room. Present. Thank you.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Kellen. And I am Peter Van Alphen, the member specially qualified as a numismatic curator and currently the chairperson of the CCAC, and I believe we do have a quorum. So the agenda for today's public meeting includes approval of the minutes and letters to the secretary from the September 16, 2025 public meeting, approval of the CCAC annual report for fiscal year 2025, and review and discussion of the candidate designs of the 2027 American Liberty coin and medal. Before we begin our proceedings, I ask the liaison to the CCAC, Ms. Jennifer Warren, if we are aware of any members of the press who are remotely watching this public meeting.
Good afternoon, this is Jennifer Warren. Mike Unser, founder and editor of Coin News, is joining us. Patrick Perez, chief publishing officer from Whitman Publishing, and Sophia Matamoro, senior editor of Numismatic News.
All right, thank you, Jen, and welcome to you all. For the record, I would also like to confirm that the following Mint staff are in attendance today, so please indicate present after I have called your name. Megan Sullivan, Acting Chief, Office Design Management.
Present.
Thank you, Megan. Roger Vasquez, Senior Design Specialist.
Present.
Thank you. Russell Evans, Design Manager.
Present.
Thank you. Denisa Hanchock, Design Manager.
Present.
Thank you. Sugrita Bajal, Design Manager.
Present.
Thank you. Joseph Mena, Chief Engraver.
Present.
Joe. Michael Costello, Manager of Design and Engraving.
Present.
Jennifer Warren, Director of Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs and the liaison to the CCAC.
Present.
Thank you. And James Kennedy, Counsel to the CCAC.
Present.
Thank you. I'd like to begin with the Mint. Are there any other issues that need to be addressed before we begin? Well, hearing none, then the first order of business for this committee is the review and approval of the CCAC minutes from our public meeting on September 16th, 2025, and the letters to the secretary from that meeting. Are there any comments or discussion on these documents?
This is Art Bernstein. I move approval of the minutes and the letters.
Do we have a second?
Chris Capozzola, second.
Thank you, Chris. All those in favor of this motion to approve, please signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any objections to the motion or abstentions? All right, well, hearing none, the minutes and letters are approved. So the next order of business is the approval of the CCAC annual report. A copy of the text of the annual report has been shared with all members, and edits submitted have been incorporated by the Mint staff. Today, we are to approve the text of the annual report, giving the Mint the authority to make any additional corrections and compile everything into the final report. Are there any comments on the CCAC annual report? Art, I see your hand is raised.
This is Art Bernstein. I've reviewed the draft with particular focus on the report of the numismatic themes subcommittee, and I move approval of the draft.
All right. Is there a second on this motion?
I second. Kellen Horb.
All right. Thank you very much, Kellen. All of those in favor of this motion to approve the annual report text, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. I'm abstaining. I'm abstaining, Peter, okay. because the report is meaningless. So I'm abstaining on meaningless things.
Right. Okay, Donald. Thank you much. All right. So the motion is the motion passes. Okay. I would like to take this moment to make a few comments before we move on to our next order of business. The United States Mint launched the American Liberty 24-karat high-relief gold coin and silver medal program in 2015, 10 years ago. The program was recommended by the CCAC to the then Secretary of the Treasury, and since then, the CCAC has taken great pride in this biennial program. To date, three of the issues, those for 2017, 2021, and 2023, have won the Coin of the Year Award for the Best Gold Coin, a remarkable achievement and one that underscores the great artwork being produced for this program, especially by those artists engaged in the Artistic Infusion Program. And today's portfolio is no exception. The idea for this program was born of one of the two functions of the CCAC. As a legislative advisory body, our primary function is to advise the Secretary of the Treasury on candidate designs for coins and medals based on our collective expertise. Another function is to propose and recommend programs for consideration. The American Liberty Program was one such recommendation, but with the requirement that the coins and medals for this program feature modern depictions of Liberty on the obverse and an American eagle on the reverse. At the inception of the U.S. Mint in 1792, the personification of Liberty was chosen for the obverse of the nation's coinage over all other possible designs because Liberty alone represented the aspirations and values of all of the nation's citizens. Thus, in various guises, Lady Liberty alone appeared on the obverse of U.S. coinage throughout the 19th century and into the 20th. Some of these representations of Liberty, like those designed by Adolf Alexander Weinmann and Augustus St. Gaudens in the first decades of the 20th century, are superlative and continue to resonate today, as can be seen in their occasional reissue by the Mint, including in the 2026 Best of the Mint series. For the American Liberty Program, however, again, the word modern is key. And in recent years, artists have found some truly innovative ways to depict American liberty, drawing inspiration in some cases from the natural world. However, American liberty is depicted, the concept is foundational to who we are and deserves without question to be front and center on our coinage. And with that, I would like to move on to the consideration of the portfolio to be reviewed today, which is, of course, the 2027 American Liberty Coin and Metal Program, which Megan Sullivan, the Acting Chief of Design Management, will now present. So, Megan, all yours.
Thank you, Peter. I'm getting quite a bit of reverb. So just a reminder to everybody to please mute your microphones. Thank you for that introduction. I will just do a quick little intro for you. The Secretary of the Treasury authorized this program based on the Mint's statutory authority to issue gold coins and silver medals. And again, we are featuring modern depiction of liberty on the obverse and American Eagle on the reverse. For 2027, the Mint will again issue a 1 ounce 24 karat gold coin and a 0.9999 fine silver medal. So if we could see the designs, we'll start out with the obverse designs. Thank you, Roger. So we'll start with obverse design one. And I will say that the required inscriptions for the gold obverse designs are Liberty, In God We Trust, and 2027. The corresponding silver medal obverse will have 2027 with the optional inscription of Liberty. And the designs, we've presented them here side by side in both their gold coin and silver medal versions. So obverse one depicts Liberty gazing at the viewer with quiet strength and resolve. Her flowing drapery, which also symbolizes freedom, is inspired by the sculptural work of Augustus St. Gaudens, a revered American artist of the classical tradition. The composition evokes both the protective structure of the living Constitution and the enduring spirit it defends. Moving on to design two. Obverse design two and obverse design 2A present Liberty with a magnificent crown of spikes and laurels with flowing hair that fills the lower part of the design. So we have obverse design two and obverse design 2A. Moving on, obverse design three depicts Liberty walking with a young girl while holding the American flag. The girl holds a torch representing enduring freedom. Obverse design four shows a formline butterfly design. The wing is on the right side while the thorax and head are on the left side. This design takes inspiration from the butterfly's transformation in its pupa stage, a time of change and possibility. Obverse design five depicts a futuristic Liberty with planet Earth in the background. Obverse design six depicts Pegasus, the winged horse from Greek mythology. In contemporary symbolism, Pegasus often represents liberty and freedom, whereas early Americans chose to depict the Roman goddess Libertas. Obverse design seven showcases the gray wolf, once effectively eradicated from Yellowstone National Park. In 1995, gray wolves were reintroduced into Yellowstone National Park. A total of 41 wolves were released over 3 years into northwestern Wyoming and central Idaho. Since then, the population has grown to roughly 100 wolves existing in 10 separate packs. Their return to Yellowstone has brought its fragile ecosystem back into a balance that had been missing for almost 100 years, an example of the restoration of liberty to the natural world. Moving on to obverse design eight. Obverse designs eight and nine depict a youthful liberty, a confident and aspirational vision of American liberty. Draped in flowing garments and adorned with a garland of flowers or cascading stars, she embodies a sense of liberty that is hopeful and dynamic. The 13 stars in each design honor the original 13 colonies, grounding liberty in the enduring promise of the American experiment. So we have eight and nine. Moving on to design 10, we have 10, 10A, and 10B. These designs portray Liberty as a modern American woman with a shaved head and leather jacket. The leather motorcycle jacket, originally designed in New York, New York in 1928, is an iconic American symbol. Liberty exemplifies freedom of expression. So we have 10, 10A, and 10B. Obverse 11 shows Liberty with a radiant sun behind her. She wears a wreath of olive branches around her head while holding the facies in one hand and a cornucopia in the other. The facies symbolize the unity of Americans, while the cornucopia represents the abundance of America that enriches us. Obverse design 12 alludes to Liberty by showcasing the beauty and freedom of the American landscape. Obverse design 13 features a crowned Liberty holding an olive branch and sheathed sword, the drapery of her dress billowing as she advances forward. Obverse design 14 depicts a mother bird attending to her chicks as they learn to fly, a symbol of thriving families throughout American liberty. American families through American liberty. Obverse 15 shows a floating wooden ship in the clouds, sailing among the stars, representative of the enduring spirit of exploration and freedom possible through American liberty. The sails display 50 stripes, while 13 stars appear in the sky. Obverse design 16 presents Liberty holding a torch and olive branch with a sunburst in the center back. And obverse design 17 shows Liberty with a cap and flowing hair above the clouds with the rays of sun in the background. Moving on to the reverse designs. The reverse designs all depict an American eagle. The required inscriptions for the gold coin are United States of America, E Pluribus Unum, 1 ounce, and 0.9999 fine gold, and the denomination $100. The corresponding silver medal may optionally include the inscription United States of America. And again, designs are presented here in both their gold, coin, and silver medal versions. Reverse 1 features an adult eagle with an eaglet in the nest. Reverse design 2 features a stylized eagle facing the viewer. Reverse design 3 and 4 feature formline depictions of an eagle. Design 3 includes the sun and moon, and part of the eagle is also a raven. The eagle represents strength and nobility, while the raven symbolizes cleverness. Their combined traits maintain balance. Reverse design 5 depicts a bald eagle as an icon of freedom, proudly looking up into the night sky with the moon and the stars. Reverse design 6 depicts a close-up view of an eagle in flight. Reverse design 7 depicts an eagle held high on Liberty's hand. Reverse design 8 draws inspiration from Adolph Weinmann's many carved eagles that originally sat atop Penn Station in New York. The eagle here appears with subtle laurels surrounding its head, a symbol of strength and beauty while maintaining a watchful eye. Reverse design 9 features a close-up depiction of eagles parenting an eaglet in the nest. Reverse design 10 displays a swooping eagle holding an olive branch and a snake, symbolizing peace in the face of adversity. And reverse design 11 features an alert bald eagle perched atop of a rock. And that concludes the portfolio.
All right, thank you very much, Megan. Before we begin our general discussion, are there any technical or legal questions from the committee about this program or the candidate designs for the 2027 American Liberty Coin and Medal Program before we begin our general
discussion? Arthur, my apologies. There is a 12th design that I did not have in my notes here. We do have a 12th design of an eagle, I believe in space with stars floating around. My apologies.
Right. Thank you. Art, I believe your hand is raised.
Yes, my question has to do with our obligation to have a coin with a heads on the obverse and a tails on the reverse. I'm asking what is the requirement, and specifically, I'm intrigued by obverse 4 and reverses 3 and 4, the two designs that I would call Native American artwork. They both seem similar to me, and I'm concerned that we don't have an obverse and we don't have a heads and a tails, and is that a problem?
Uh, Somebody, oh, Joe, your hand is raised.
Without sounding pedantic, Art, you know, heads, tails doesn't necessarily, you know, I mean, it doesn't obviously mean heads, as you know, but it's the gravitas of the symbolism on the obverse, going all the way back to ancient Roman coins, which did not always represent emperors. You know, you look at coinage around the world, and it's particularly this Northwest Native American lexicon, I just think it's different, but it, you know, without, I don't know what it means to come from that experience or be that kind of artist, but I'm familiar enough with this type of art to know that it's appropriate for an obverse, in my opinion. It's just my opinion.
This is Art Bernstein. Thank you for that answer.
Thank you. Donald, your hand is raised.
Yeah, since we can now, the Mint can now pick any design that the CCAC has ever considered, going back for 25 years, according to the latest legal opinion, fictional legal opinion that we're given, is there any of the, I think I recognize one of these designs from a previous portfolio, are there any others? Do we have anything here from anything that, you know, in any previous portfolio going back 25 years that you're now entitled just to use without our review? Just curious.
Hey, Donald, just to clarify, let me put my camera on. Two things. So you are seeing a familiar design. It was one that was submitted for a different program, but it was re-entered for this program here, but the designs that are consideration for recommendation to the secretary are the ones that are in front of you.
All right, thank you, Jim.
So nothing else comes from previous packages that we've considered, correct?
Not that I'm aware of, although Megan, can you speak to that?
It's also my understanding that, yes, it is just the one design, and if my memory serves correctly, this is one that that one design is one you have requested to see again when it was viewed in the past. This design, verse 3.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Chris, I see your hand is raised.
Yes, my question also has to do with verse 4 and reverse 3. I presume, I haven't checked, that the American Liberty sort of statutory authority doesn't sort of mandate consultation with stakeholders as some of our Native American programs do, but wonder if in this case there has been any consultation either with Native Nations or with the National Museum of the American Indian.
There's no statutory requirement for this one. American Liberty is a bit more discretionary in the part of the Mint. Whether there have been any consultations, I'm not aware of that, but again, I'll defer to Megan on that one.
Correct, and we did for these designs because of the uniquely Native American art form. We did do appropriate consultations to ensure that these are appropriate works.
And,
they are also done by an artist with Native heritage.
Yeah, I don't mean, if I can add, if everybody recalls the last artistic infusion call, there's a grand range of diverse perspectives in this talent pool.
Excuse me, this is Jennifer Warren. For the court reporter, can you make sure that you do state your name when you start speaking? Thank you. And that was Joe Manna that just spoke.
Yep. All right, thank you.
And this is Chris Capizola saying thank you.
Yep. Jeannie, I see that your hand is raised.
Yes, thank you. This is Jeannie Stevens-Solomon. I believe that verse 3 was also seen before. Yes. And just to note that we have seen it and we did like it. I think we should note that. Thank you.
Jean, this is Megan. That is correct. That is the only design. Verse 3 is the one that you have seen before. I apologize if that was not clear.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mike Moran, your hand is raised.
Couldn't find my area, unmuted. Reverse 11 is a retread.
Oh, yeah.
And on obverse 3, I believe that's been up several different times. Which other programs has it been up for?
My recollection is that this was also presented to us last year for the American Liberty and in the semi-quincentennial portfolio that we reviewed. So we have seen this at least twice, I believe.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions or comments? Jeannie, your hand still raised or is it raised again?
No, I'm sorry. I can't seem to erase the erase. Wait.
Okay.
There. Sorry.
All right. Do we have any other questions or comments from the committee before we begin? All right. Well, then let's begin. And I would like to remind members to please try to keep your comments to 5 minutes or less and to identify yourself again for the record prior to speaking. I'd like to begin with Mike Moran, who has been on this committee since the inception of this program, has long history and long knowledge, and await your comments, Mike.
Bear with me while I get him up here. I do have comments, Peter. This is Mike Moran. Looking at the obverses, the first one, I immediately spotted that as St. Gaudens. It's from the Adams Memorial in Rock Creek Cemetery. It is a memorial to what once was and could never be again. I somehow did not feel that was appropriate for a version of the 21st century vision of liberty. On the other hand, maybe the artist is trying to make a point here, so I'll let that go. I'm going to be a little bit critical because I'm not totally happy with this package. Some of it is, I find, disconcerting. Number two, looks like the artist has thrown everything in there in the way of iconic symbols that they can think of, and it turned out looking like Medusa. This is the third time through. I like the design. It was appropriate for what it was chosen for. I'm not sure it is all that good for the 21st century, but I can live with it. My problem with four is that the average person on the street you're going to have to explain this to, and if you can't get it condensed into a 10-second sound bite, they won't pay any attention to it. Five, I don't like, period. Six is a poor rendition of the horse and Pegasus. Seven, the wolf, I don't think that's really appropriate. It didn't necessarily bring the environment into a new balance. It rebalanced it as it once was out there. But is it a symbol for 21st century liberty? I doubt it. Seven and eight. This is a growing frustration with me about the artists in our AIP, or even if it's our engravers. They tend to give us two or three different versions, and basically I sometimes feel like they're throwing a dart up against the board and hoping one of them hits. It causes a problem for us. It causes votes to get split between the two, between eight and nine. And it also causes complications when we get to our decision-making process. And I think as many times it causes an artist to lose the design as opposed to be successful with one of the versions. I happen to like both of these, but that's me and my style. There's no way in hell for, 10A, 10B, forget it, you know, that's not me. 11 is just okay. 12 is boring. I mean, I get the stylized wheat ear, but the landscape sucks. I don't like 13. 14 is kind of meaningless to me. I can't tell what the bird is. 15 reminds me, I expect to see Peter Pan or Tinkerbell to come out of that ship in the clouds. 16's all right. It goes with particularly 11 on the reverse in terms of stylized lettering. The problem I have is the hairdo of Liberty is from the 1890s, or actually turn of the 20th century. 17, it's Wyman's winged Liberty without the wings. we don't need it again. So I'm overall, I found the portfolio a bit thin, let's put it that way. On the reverses, I won't go over them in nearly the detail. We've had an eagle head. I'm tendency to dismiss those. As far as the Northwestern Indian art, again, I don't think this is the right place for it. And I'll show that with my votes. The rest of the eagle heads are just there. The only one that is halfway decent, in my opinion, is 7, although it plows no new ground. I do like, and I've always liked, number 11. It is an excellent rendition of a standing eagle. The stylized font, however, is going to limit its application in terms of marrying it with any of those on the obverse. To me, this is just an example of what I'm seeing in a growing amount in these mint portfolios, that they are all kind of stuck in a rut. Thank you, Peter.
All right, Mike, thank you. And thank you for your
stuck in a rut.
All right, I'd like to now call on Donald Scorenzi, another member who's been around long enough to see the inception of this program. Donald, you might be muted.
Yeah, I'm muted. Listen, I feel the same way Mike does. This is not a portfolio that we can really pick anything from. There's really nothing really good here. And we have time, because this isn't going to happen until 2027. I'd like to request another crack at more, seeing more designs. And even if we have to, dust off old designs, I don't think there's anything in this portfolio that is up to the standard of an award-winning American Liberty series. We've won 3 Coin of the Year awards with these coins. This particular series of American Liberty, where the artists are asked to reimagine liberty in new and modern ways suitable for the 21st century, and I'm just not seeing it. The few designs that that might be okay, the people who really control and run the mint and tell the mint what to do are never gonna agree with them, right? So. I don't see anybody who controls the mint approving that. 03, forget about that, right? That's never going to be approved. 07 is a wolf, and by 2007 in Yellowstone, those wolves might not be there. So we're commemorating history with this coin. I do like 08 and 09 without the stars, right? They're women. They depict women. They're not in favor with the people that control the mint either. 10, forget about it, right? Where are we going there, right? I think we all know that gets thrown into the bin with the people that control and direct the mint what to do. So then we get to 11. That's really not, there's nothing appealing about 11 in any design point of view. Number 12, of all the designs, if we're stuck considering this portfolio, by 2027, there'll be some oil rigs on there. So maybe this is a good depiction of history, of landscape, of what the park used to look like. And so it might be worth, minting this coin just as a memento of the past. I think it's really not a worthwhile portfolio, certainly not worth spending the next 2 hours talking about. So can I make a motion to reject all designs and see some new ones at another meeting.
And you can, once we've heard from everybody. I would like to hear from everybody first. So.
Okay.
Peter, so, Peter, excuse me. If I'm, may I just got, okay from headquarters. This portfolio's. Yeah, this portfolio, in my opinion, from an aesthetic perspective, is outstanding. To anticipate any a priori events without having that event, I think is a mistake. With all due respect to Mr. Scrinci, these artists all are all interpreting the brief through their lens of experience, through their emotional investment, and their personal visions. We have had animals on coins. We have had liberties on coins. We haven't had a sailing ship on a coin. But these are all honest interpretations by the very same talent pool that gave you all of those. This body of artists includes the same talent pool that gave you all of those Codys in the past. So and if there's any failing, it's on me as an art director then, Donald. And I'm not trying to make it personal. But aesthetically, I think this is an outstanding portfolio, one of the best Liberty portfolios I've ever seen. Design 3 was included because it has been requested back since suffrage to be brought back for consideration again and again and again. So the only repeat was at the request. But the rest of them are wholly original. Native American images on a Liberty dollar in America? That's amazing to me. And all the other ones, I think, are amazing too. So I'm sorry. I just felt like I wanted to interject that for consideration.
All right, thank you for your comments, Joe.
We can agree to disagree.
All right, moving on then. I would like to invite Kellen Horde to offer his comments.
Thanks, Peter. This is Kellen Horde speaking. For me, as I was going into this portfolio, I basically had kind of three general lenses or principles I was looking at for the designs. Number one being that we avoid kind of the neoclassical depictions of liberty, especially heads or busts. This series has the potential to do so much more and go beyond that as kind of the point of the series. And so I tended away from those. Second, to not replicate, you know, similar framing as previous pieces in the series, especially for the reverse, we want to, you know, kind of tackle a new angle, literally, or a new approach that we hadn't seen before. The third lens was pairing obverses and reverses, which built off each other, which, because we are looking at kind of the obverse and reverse portfolio separately, isn't always the case. And so there's some designs that are neat but don't pair well, in my view. So to me, the perfect manifestation of kind of those three principles, which I've heard the committee articulate before, is obverse 3 and reverse 1. I don't know if we can put those side by side. To me, with obverse 1, we have a powerful design on many levels. It depicts not just liberty in its current state, but also its endurance through time and over generations. It emphasizes our ability not just to accept liberty as it is, but to be active participants in maintaining and spreading it. It shows dynamic movement. It shows pride in America, and is unlike anything that we've had in this series before. We've seen this obverse multiple times over multiple series, and we haven't quite found the right program yet for it, but I think this is the time for it, at least to recommend it, even if the Mint doesn't take it up. I think this is the time to recommend it. And that's especially given the case, given how perfectly Reverse 1 pairs with it. Here again, we see kind of the same balance of an adult to protecting and mentoring and teaching a child. We see an eagle vigilant in its defense of liberty. We see a reverse unlike any we've actually yet seen in this series. I think it's a well-drawn, clean, and well-balanced reverse. And so these two are getting my full support as a pair. I think you see really they're building off each other between the obverse and reverse. I'll also give a few points to obverse 7, if that's on there, and to reverse 6. Thank you. Because they meet some of my general principles, but I'm actually hesitant for the committee to fully recommend these. Obverse 7 is an interesting design with multiple layers of meaning surrounding liberty. I think it's an interesting composition, but I don't really want to turn the American Liberty Gold Coin and Silver Meadow series into an American Flora and Fauna series. And that's what we've done with the last three coins and medals we already have. I love celebrating flora and fauna, but I think we have a lot of options for this series and don't need to limit ourselves. Similarly, Reverse 6 is well-crafted, an interesting kind of angle on the eagle, but to me, it's actually too similar to the 2021 Reverse that was finally approved. We have a lot of options. We don't need to walk the same path again. We can do something more dynamic and which pairs better. So again, Obverse 3 and Reverse 1 hit on what we've discussed as a committee for what we want to see in our coins and medals artistically going forward. I think now's the time we embrace and recommend it. Thank you.
All right, Kellen, thank you very much. And Lisa Purdy, if you would please.
Oh, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Welcome. All right. Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Annalisa Purdy. Good afternoon, everyone. I just would like to start off by saying, and I will keep my comments to the portfolio brief because there are many designs here, that I can see where each of the artists has taken the time to work on these designs, and it's fascinating to see their different perceptions of Liberty and what it means to them. Were there time, I would like to talk to them about their process and about the way that they've approached these, because each of these do reflect a particular style. And so it's just fascinating to see how that's developed over time. For the reverses, which I will start with in my notes, reverse 11 is still, and we've seen this before, is still the favorite. More muha. I think it's different. I think it's a unique design. I like the fact that, again, mentioned in previous comments, that this eagle is still a young eagle. It's not a fully formed eagle, and how that ties into the concept of liberty as something that's growing. I think the angle is very unique and it's different. And the way that the lettering is rounded is still familiar, something that would be recognizable, but in a distinct style that we haven't seen on a coin before. And I would be very interested to see how that would look when it was struck. For reverse 5, this one would get some merit points from me. I think the design overall is beautiful, but in the discussion of the Liberty coins, I think that we overall should stay away from anything pertaining to space, not because it's not done well, but staying on terra firma might be best for another coin design about exploration. Perhaps this would fit, but I'm just hesitant with this particular portfolio about anything relating to outside of Earth overall and the United States overall. But this still is very, very well done. These lines are clean. The lettering is clean. For the obverses, my favorite by and large is still Obverse 3. I think that there is a reason why this design has constantly come up. As I've mentioned before, it references past designs, Walking Liberty designs, and makes a very important statement about liberty towards the future. I think the composition is beautiful. The lettering also works very well, and seeing this in relief on a coin itself would also be very striking. So this is still going to get points from me. For number 7, the wolf, I like the concept of having an animal that is not necessarily an eagle on a coin, but I also agree that for the concept of liberty, I'm not sure where this would fit overall. In a discussion about American animals or so, maybe the shading on here is beautiful, but I don't think that most people would make the immediate connotation between gray wolf and liberty in that sense without some thought going forward to it. I'm also going to agree with Mike's comments about Obverse 15 in terms of referencing Peter Pan. That's the impression I got when I first saw it as well. The second star to the right shines in the night for you. I like the idea, the concept, and I wasn't even aware of the stripes at first in the sails. But again, in terms of abstract, I'm not sure that the buyer, the coin collector, would overall get that perception. And still 16, the other preference for me for the obverse is 16. Moremuha. I think that it's familiar while also being striking and different and original as well. There are some concerns about the laurel around the edge, but that can also be adjusted. And I think that her pose is juxtaposed very well with the corresponding Muha-esque eagle on the reverse as well, when this coin is actually held in the hand and flipped. I think that it would work very well, both in terms of composition and in terms of first impressions with this. This is very much, it's not crowded at all, still gives the overall impression. This is very well done and pairs very well together. And the details in this one is still, by and large, my favorite. So those are my thoughts, and that's it. Thank you very much.
Wonderful, Annalisa. Thank you very much. Dean Stephen Solomon, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Jean Stephen Solomon. I agree very much with my colleagues. I especially agree with Annalise. You have chosen the ones that I have chosen. Avers 3, we have seen before, and we have liked it before. I think that it would be appropriate for this series for Liberty. I also would like to pair it with reverse number 2, because this eagle, as opposed to all the other ones, is extremely powerful. And looking over these young Liberty girls, ladies, on obverse 3, to me, it would make a good pairing. So this is my first choice. And going down the list, I must say that I know people don't like Avers 10A and B. However, the artist really thought outside the box. And when I first saw it, let's go to B, 10B, yeah, A and B. When you look at it, B, it has the icons of Liberty, the eagle, the torch, and I think this particular figure is a concept of what is happening to our humanity. You know, it's naked, it's there. And although when I first saw it, I was a little opposed to it. I agree with Mike, it's a little, offending, and yet it's very drawing. You know, you want to look at it again. And when I see a design that I'm not sure of, I need to look at it again. And why is that? Because it is really unusual. This could actually serve as a unisex figure in terms of presenting Liberty. So in that respect, I'm going to give it some high marks. Again, I would pair it with reverse 2. I think that, you know, maybe we have something there. And I'm looking also to Donna's suggestion that we are looking for another, you know, coin of the year. I think people would look at these kind of with a little bit of awe. We need to have that held in our hands to say, wow. And that's what I think of these. My next one, go down.
Jeannie,
are you losing me?
We were for a 12. Second, yeah.
Avers 12, I'm sorry. Avers 12, which is, I'm looking at it as being the land of the free. Now, this is a real jump from our normal liberties with personify, you know, the women. I think this could work. It could work. And for, I don't really have a reverse for this one, but it would be a good one. As for the designs with the Native American images, I think these are wonderful. I love to see it in our portfolios. However, I have to agree with my colleagues that most people would not understand it. We do, because we've seen these things, we enjoy this art form, but I think the public truly wouldn't understand what is going on, and we want them to do that. We want a liberty that's understandable. Those are my thoughts. Thank you very much.
All right, Jeannie, thank you very much. Sam Gilbert, if you would please.
Thank you, Peter. This is Sam Gilbert. Very interesting portfolio. I enjoyed the reverses more than the obverses in general. The Pegasus obverse number six, I liked seeing that, very bold image. But I agree with what Mike was saying. Not sure if it's the best rendition. Number seven with the wolf, really striking image. Really enjoyed this. Very bold, very powerful, but very graceful, very elegant. Very interesting design. Numbers six and eight, I thought evoked a classical inspiration. Number eight reminded me a lot of the gold coinage of Switzerland. I think if we had to go with one of them, eight over versus obverse nine, I'd lean toward obverse eight with the inclusion of the flowers. I just think it's a better rendition of Liberty for this program. The ship, I actually kind of like the ship just because you don't really see that on U.S. coins. See it on some coins from around the world. I think the only U.S. coin I can really think of where I've seen it is the 1920 and 21 Pilgrim Tercentenary commemorative half dollar. So I'd be okay with that. Just as I'd be okay with number three. I know we'd seen that one before. Ultimately, though, I really do enjoy obverse number 16. Yes, agree with Annalisa completely. Mormuha, love the Art Nouveau imagery. And of course, if we went with this obverse, I believe we'd have to pair it with the other Art Nouveau inspired reverse of reverse number 11. If we do go forward with this portfolio, I really would like to see this become a coin. I think this would be very striking in high relief gold. Again, I'm always going to lobby for the silver to be in high relief again. I do think it would translate very well. I would have liked to have seen this year's Liberty image, the silver medal, also in high relief, but that is what it is. For the reverses, I did also like number five with the nighttime sky theme. Six and eight were all right. Numbers seven and 12 will get some points from me as well. But ultimately, I'm going to go with the obverse 16 and reverse 11. And those are my thoughts, Peter. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Sam. John Saunders, if you would please.
Hi, John Saunders here. I first of all want to say I don't agree with the first two speakers, even though often I agree with one or both of them. I think it was a good portfolio. I don't think I'm sending it back for reconsideration. I particularly like the obverses better than the reverses, but I thought it was interesting, a lot of creativity, a lot of different things, some of which I don't think is suitable for the coins, or I won't vote for them, but I thought they were creative. Going through the obverses, I like obverse one. I'm a little bit afraid of it being too much like a funeral shroud or something like that. I take Mike's comment about, its original use is not the appropriate theme for this. Obverse two, I didn't like. It was too harsh, too like Medusa. Obverse three, I've always liked this one. I'm not going to give it a lot of points for this because I think it goes on something that has to do with perhaps civil rights or women's suffrage or something of that theme rather than a liberty theme for this one. Obverse four and the reverses like it, I think they're very creative. Again, I don't think the public would understand them at all. And so therefore, I'm not going to give them a lot of points, but I am going to give them a bonus for creativity. It'd be nice if we could give more than just a merit or no merit for creativity. I mean, if we could have two or three levels that we could give for different things, I think that would be good for us to be able to do in the future, just a suggestion. Obverse five, I like it. I like the space theme. I like the depiction of Liberty there. I think it's a nice design. My favorite is obverse six. Six, it's reminiscent of me as a person who collects into some, deals and to some extent collects ancient coins. This is an example of a pre-Alexander the Great coin. It's the Corinthian Stater is where this is the famous coin that Pegasus is on. I'm sure they're on other coins too, but it's the pre-Alexander the Great coin. This is before they started putting human portraits on coins. It's flying, it's breaking free. I think it's a great example of liberty. So that's gonna be my first choice. The wolf's okay, but it looked a little bit too thick. Maybe it is, maybe that's the way it is atomically, but it looked a little bit too thick, more than I remember a wolf. I like 8 and 9, I think very classic, both of them. 10, I agree with Jeannie. It is an extremely creative design. I just don't like it for coin. I'm sorry. It just doesn't appeal to me. But I in terms of artistic merit, I would definitely give it some. 11's kind of okay. 12's kind of okay. 13's kind of okay. 14, I didn't particularly like it. I didn't know what kind of birds they were. 15, I agree with Sam, even though it's, I can see Mike's point. It is somewhat associated with Peter Pan. But I mean, it was Peter flying, not the ship. The ship was, I think, in the water, if I remember Captain Hook on there. I like the design, though. 16, I like a lot. Again, Mike's comment about the hairstyle, there might be some modification of that, but it is the era of Art Nouveau. I'm not sure I object to the olive branch behind, but I like the overall design. And 17, okay, yes, it does look like Wyman's Mercury Dive, but I think the design is more from earlier, from the from Mary Ann, of the French coins that are, you know, predate the Mercury Dime. I'm reminded of the Mary, but it's a classic Liberty and a little bit different than it's done before. It's usually just the head, and I like the half bust. I like that design a lot too. So a lot of the obverse designs get a bunch of points from me. In terms of the reverses, I mean, I liked some better than others, but the outstanding one for me is 11C. I believe that we should at least put this on the silver medal, perhaps the gold too, but certainly the silver medal. That was the outstanding one for me. The Native American ones, the same comments I made to the obverse. I didn't like reverse 10. It looks like the eagle is in a crash situation headed toward Earth. I'm sure that's not what it was meant, but it kind of looks that way. This is 10 reverse. So it didn't particularly appeal to me. 12 kind of looks like the Eisenhower dollar. I didn't particularly appeal to me either. But again, I like 11 paired with 16 for at least one of the two coins, maybe both of them. And again, I thought that the Pegasus would be a really, really good symbolic, going back to how liberty was portrayed or how nations were portrayed before we started putting rulers on them. And I like the depiction of liberty in 8 and 9. So that I kind of like this portfolio. So anyway, those are my comments. Thanks.
All right, John, thank you very much. Art Bernstein, if you would, please.
This is Arthur Bernstein. Rather than go through the list, most of my colleagues have covered what needs to be covered. Let me just focus on what I thought was best, and I may be a little bit alone on this. I liked the North American, Native American designs, and I thought they made for an outstanding obverse and reverse. Several of my colleagues have referred to lack of understanding. To me, that's the charm. That's the value of those designs. Our former chair talked about the coffee table test for a coin. Which coin would you pick up? Which would catch your eye and make you wonder what was it about? And to me, these two coins would do that. I think we have a groundbreaking opportunity here, and my scoring is going to go for these two designs.
Right. All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Harcourt Fuller, if you would please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Dr. Harcourt Fuller. I won't go through all of the designs because I feel like my colleagues have basically covered them excellently, but I do have a couple of comments that I want to make, and then I will share my comments about the specific designs that I liked. And I wanted to just say that this is why I love serving on this committee, because there is such a diversity of opinions, and that is always great in a democracy, right? When people disagree passionately, but at the end of the day, we will respect the majority opinion. And I really like that. You know, Mike and Donald started out, and I really appreciate how both of them went through pretty much most of the designs, explaining in essence, you know, what they felt about those designs. And then you can sense the passion of Joe and Donald, right? On sort of two ends of the spectrum. And then you have other colleagues, some, you know, liking some designs over others. And to me, again, that's a very important thing. There are times when we have a unanimous opinion about designs, and there are times like this when the committee is essentially either split down the middle or we are all over the place. But again, that's how the sausage gets made. I think it's a beautiful thing. And at the end of the day, we all have a high degree of respect for each other's opinions. And those opinions are backed up by our collective expertise. So I think the public should see that as a good thing. With that said, there are several designs that I particularly liked. I liked obverses 1 and 6. So I'll just point those out. I think obverse 1 is very the look of Lady Liberty is very intense, right? And of course, we've already heard comments, if we could go back to the Pegasus. It's just a very majestic design in my view. Let me close my comments by focusing on obverse 3 and reverse 1, if we could get those together. And I do think that I have to agree with, I think Kellen is the one that suggested this pairing. And I think Annalisa and Jean also liked obverse 3. I think they go well together. These are two powerful designs, individually and as a pair. And the one thing I'll say finally about obverse 3 is that I know there is a comment that this might be more befitting of a civil rights themed coin, but that's only if we look at what is obviously an African-American woman as only being able to represent civil rights. But if we rethink that and look at this design as an American woman striding confidently, being proud of her country and taking along the future generation, then we see it in a different light, that this is an American woman loving her country with her flag. And you know, this represents everyone, not just any specific group of people. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Fuller. Wonderful comments, and it is a beautiful thing indeed. Chris Capozzola, if you would please.
All right. Good afternoon. This is Chris Capozzola, it's always a pleasure to go last because I receive an education from my fellow CCAC members who bring, you know, hundreds of years of numismatic experience. in total. None of you are 100 years old. And also, you know, hundreds of years of artistic experience from the Mint's artist program, and we see a lot of that here. My thoughts have evolved, but I want to focus mostly on the obverses. excuse me, I'm a little bit sick today. I think that obverses 3 and 8 are both quite strong. They're obviously ones that we have seen before. They are quite straightforward. I will say, if we were to consider obverse 8, I do think that laurel might be more appropriate than flowers in the hair of the model there. I do have a couple of comments to make just for the record about some of the obverses. I actually do think that obverse 4 and both of the indigenous obverse and reverse sort of options are extremely strong artistically, and I appreciate that they were developed in consultation with NMAI or other stakeholders. But I do have some hesitations about them leading in this particular program, but I do hope to see them again. Similarly, obverse 5, and here I would disagree with my colleague Annalisa, I actually do think space is a potentially really a strong sort of field for thinking about modern depictions of liberty, and this particular obverse is really quite strong. So you know, I do think it's something that I hope we will consider. On number 7, obverse 7, the wolf. I was very excited to see this as something that could be produced by the Mint, and I do think particularly in gold or silver, this would be truly spectacular to see. But others have expressed very clearly why this is the wrong program for this particular image. But you know, aesthetically quite remarkable, and in terms of American history, and a very important moment in our relation with the natural world. And then I think the only other thing that I would say, again, just for the record, number 12, obverse 12, as an interpretation, aesthetically, it's quite remarkable, but I think it actually looks like a reverse. And so I would love to see this again in some future program, maybe doing the work that we often expect a reverse to do. I think most people would turn, if this were on an obverse, would turn it over, looking for the heads. In terms of the obverse 16 and reverse 11 pairing, I do think we have seen these exact designs before, or this aesthetic style, and we've often praised it, we've often considered it, and you know, I think there's a strong. I did not go into this meeting thinking that this would be the year for this coin, but I am possibly persuaded by my colleagues that this is the case. So I will be giving points to these individual obverse and reverse and to the pairing. Moving on now to the reverses, I'll just briefly only talk about two. Reverse 1, just wait a second, is one that many have talked about, and people who are advocating the obverse 3 reverse 1 pair have a very strong argument, I think, to make, although people who have small offspring in their nests might not choose the word liberty to describe their experiences, but in any case, I will say the only thing I would say here that no one has said before is in reverse 1, I don't like the way that the number 100 overlaps with the dollar sign. And I'm sure that would strike differently in a coin, but if there's a way that could, that's just an aesthetic and not a historical point. And then I do, again, think number 6, obverse 6, is extremely strong. It could certainly pair with some of the more classical obverses if we were to go in that direction. This is reverse 6, and it's certainly, you know, it's quite compelling, but I think may not make it in. I didn't hear consensus for that one in this group, so I will stop there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Chris. For my own comments, I approach this portfolio particularly with an eye to pairing, because I think that it is important in this series particularly to find obverses and reverses that work well together. I am drawn again to obverse 16 and reverse 11. I think that this makes an exceptionally attractive and dramatic pair. of obverse and reverse, and I am particularly drawn to the Art Nouveau type style. This is a reverse that we had, in fact, selected as a possibility in a couple of years ago for the 2025. At the time, we were not able to find what we collectively thought would be a suitable obverse for this. We had this as a possibility. But I do think that the obverse pairs exceptionally well with this reverse, and this would make a very striking coin and medal. This will be my first choice, but I also continue to really quite like obverse 3. I think that this is something that we have seen before, that we have expressed a lot of admiration for. We have not yet been able to find a way to see this through to the light of day, and this might perhaps be the year for it. Again, in terms of finding an appropriate reverse for this, I agree with Kellen that I do think that reverse number 1 would be appropriate, just because of the parental and child pairing on both the obverse and reverse. And with that, I will leave it, and so we can move on. And I will ask at this point if there are any questions or motions from the members before we score.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead, Harcourt.
This is Dr. Harcourt Fuller. Can we go back to obverse 16 and reverse 11, please?
Yes.
And I would like to ask you, Mr. Chairman, and for those other colleagues who like this pairing, you know, the mandate for this portfolio, right, is future or futuristic depictions of liberty.
Modern.
Can you explain what is modern about particularly the obverse? But of course, you can also explain both. Thank you.
I am hard pressed actually to find an appropriate answer to that, because again, I think that this stylistically is very much within the Art Nouveau tradition, and perhaps a modern rendering of that, particularly with the lettering, with the font, I think is unlike anything I've seen in Art Nouveau. But it is, again, to me, just a very striking representation of liberty and the eagle, and quite unlike anything I think that we've ever seen before, you know, produced. So in that sense, perhaps it is modern. And Joe, I think that you had your hand raised to respond to that question. Is that correct?
Yes, this is Joseph Manor. If I may, Mr. Chairman, just, you know, it may be a callback to Alphonse Mucha and Art Nouveau, but it's something that's never been seen on an American coin before, particularly this program. It's calling upon the past for inspiration towards the future is something that's not unusual in the arts. And I look at this as a very avant-garde, bold depiction of liberty and the eagle, because we've never seen it before. Yeah. And I'm not trying to be a committee member. I'm just talking as chief engraver aesthetic guy.
Yeah, no, and I thank you for those comments, Joe, because you expressed that better than I could, for sure. Donald, I think your hand was raised next. You're muted.
John is next.
Oh, John. All right. Go ahead, John.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was an order here. Anyway, technical question. I've got one score sheet. Are we supposed to score gold and silver separately? And are we supposed to have the same design for the gold and the silver? We're supposed to have having two designs. And then thirdly, who do I text it to, or what number do I text it to?
Megan, would you like to respond to the first two questions? The third, I can. We send the score sheet.
This is Jennifer. I'll re-email, but you should have had an email with the score sheet that has the text number, but I will send it again.
Okay, I don't get email here, Jennifer. So if you could tell me the text number, that would be great. I probably have.
I can do it in the chat. I'm not going to do it over a public meeting, but I'll put it in the chat.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, this is Megan. To answer the question, the gold and silver do need to be the same design because these are a version of the same. So the if you are selecting, as we have here on the screen, obverse 16 and reverse 11, you do need to select obverse 16 coin and metal, reverse 11 coin and metal.
All right, thank you. Donald, do you want to go ahead now?
Yeah, I had this the same question as John. I didn't see the score sheet, so if you could I could text my scores if you send the cell phone number to text it to in the chat. So that would be good. Thank you, Jennifer.
Don't mind the two equal, just the 301, and then go from there.
Gotcha. Appreciate it. And as to and listen, I mean, after hearing everyone, you know, there's nothing that's going to shake the earth in this portfolio, but it doesn't make any sense to come back and do it again. I'm hearing the majority of you are satisfied with what you see. So I think the two things that have been said by various people, one is the obverse using obverse 3 in a pairing with reverse 1. I think that's a perfectly acceptable design. There's just no chance in hell that the Mint's bosses allow this, but you know, I mean, I'm going to give it a 3. And then, you know, as a second choice, you know, I do have confidence. So while I don't like the portfolio, Joe, I do completely respect the talent of the chief engraver, that he can make the pairing of the other pairing that everyone seems to like, which is obverse 16 and reverse 11. You know, I do think if anybody could make this, you know, could turn this into into an outstanding sculpt, it would be the chief engraver. So, you know, my concern about going with 3 is that, you know, when it gets rejected, what are the bosses going to pick, right? So, I mean, I just don't know. So, I think you know, I don't see any. Anyone having an issue with obverse 16 and reverse 11, you know, so that might be from, you know, strategically the smarter play, you know, to avoid, you know, people, you know, who don't know anything about coins to, you know, pick something else. So, you know, I think that's where I'm going to go. These two pairings, forget the motion to come back again and waste our time. Let's just go with what we've got.
All right. Thank you, Donald. Kellen, your hand is raised.
Oh, this is Kellen Moore. Thank you. This is kind of a residual hand. I had a similar inquiry as Harcourt around obverse 16, in my view, not really being a modern one, which is the primary direction of this series, just because in my view, a coin, we haven't featured something on a coin before, doesn't necessarily mean it's modern. We could do Julius Caesar on a coin, and that's not exactly a modern design. So to me, you know, I do still tend towards obverse 3 and 1 as the obverse, but the so that was my question, and it sounds like, you know, we may or may not go with that. But the other piece I had of it, though, around the reverse 11 was that, to me, it felt very similar to the 2023 coin, kind of an eagle standing still on a rock. And so I was hesitant on a number of levels, both for the obverse not being a modern depiction of Liberty and the reverse being something we have functionally done before, minus a different font. But I Harcourt asked that question already, so thank you.
All right, thank you. Are there any,
Mr. Chairman,
any other, I'm sorry?
This is Harcourt Fuller, if I may.
Right.
Sorry again to chime in again. I just wanted to follow up on what Donald said. I do think that our job as a committee is to provide advice to the Mint. And I think whatever we collectively decide at the end of the day that's what we should present without thinking about what the ultimate outcome might be. I think that's our job, and I think that's what we should do. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And technically, we are advising the Secretary of the Treasury as much as we would sometimes like to advise the Mint. So, are there any other questions or comments? All right, then why don't we score?
I'm less confident of you, Peter, about who we're advising. So, but that's okay. we can pretend we're advising the Secretary of the Treasury. Let's leave it at that.
All right. So, why don't we then go ahead and score the candidate designs for the 2027 American Liberty Coin and Medal? Please do send your score sheets to Jim Kennedy. And we will take a break for, let's say, 5 minutes. We'll check in 5 minutes to see if Jim has received all the scores and if he's ready. And if not, then we will take another 5 minutes. So we'll try to reconvene at 2:25. And or 2:30.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead, Harcourt.
I apologize again. I think given the size of this portfolio, I think that we should do 10 minutes.
Okay, all right. So we will reconvene at 2:30.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Through, as Dr. Fuller pointed out, it's a lot of scores. So if you can give me 5 more minutes, I should be ready.
All right. We'll see everybody back at 2:35.
Thank you.
On Peter, there
you go. All right. We are back. It is 2:38 p.m. and I recognize Jim Kennedy to present the results from the scoring sheet. So all yours, Jim.
Right, thank you. On the obverse, out of a total of 33 points, the results are as follows. Obverse 1, 4 points. Obverse 2, 1 point. And 2A, 1 point. Obverse 3, 22 points, which is the second highest. Obverse 4, 8 points. Obverse 5, 3 points. Obverse 6, 9 points. Obverse 7, 7 points. Obverse 8, 12 points. Obverse 9, 10 points. 2 points apiece for obverses 10, 10A, and 10B. 0 points for obverse 11. 1 point for obverse 12. 0 for obverses 13 and 14. 5 points for obverse 15. 25 points for obverse 16, which is our top vote getter or point getter. And 4 points for obverse 17. On the reverse side, reverse 1, 17 points, which is the second highest. Reverse 2, 9 points. Reverse 3, 4 points. Reverse 4, 8 points. Reverse 5, 7 points. Reverse 6, 9 points. Reverse 7, 7 points. Reverse 8, 2 points. Reverse 9, 3 points. Reverse 10, 1 point. Reverse 11, 27, which is the top point getter. And then reverse 12 is 4 points.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim. I will ask, are there any motions?
Yeah, Peter, it's Mike Moran. I move that we approve obverse 16 in reverse 11.
John Saunders, I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this motion? He raised hands. Any comments? All right. Well, then let us vote on this motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. This is a motion to recommend obverse 16 and reverse 11. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any abstentions? Any objections?
I vote no.
Okay, one.
Chris Capozzola.
Yes.
And I'm Donald Scorinci is abstaining.
Okay, with one abstention and one no. The motion nevertheless carries with 9 in favor. So, appears then that we are done with this unless there are any further motions. Okay. If all discussion has then concluded, I would like to thank.
Sorry,
Peter, Chris has his hand up.
Sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I wonder, there was much discussion on Obverse 16 about Liberty's hair and a sort of more modern depiction, and maybe that can just be communicated to the artists. But if any of the people who spoke to that wanted to move in that regard, I would be curious to hear.
Right. Would anyone like to take up Chris's suggestion or comments here?
I mean, it's in the record, so if no one wants to make it part of a motion, it's communicated.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. Okay, then, if all discussion has then concluded, I would like to thank the CCAC members, the Mint staff, and the public for their attendance today. All upcoming meetings, as always, will be announced in the Federal Register. And now I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Art Bernstein. I move adjournment.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Donald, thank you very much. All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please signify by saying aye.
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 Do I need to ask if there are any abstentions or, all right. Anyway, the meeting stands adjourned at 2:44 p.m. Thank you very much.